Welcome back to the High School Football Podcast, already in week 9 of the high school football season. Really, really remarkable that it's already blown through this far. We're getting into playoff time as I bring in my co-host, Jeff King. Jeff, we're getting to playoff time, and there's been a lot of hot topics about the playoff format and what should be going on in high school football here in San Diego. A lot of different proposals thrown out there, but going to be an interesting topic tonight.
Yeah, definitely, Braden. We touched on it actually last week a little bit in terms of the format and what we thought is the best way to go about it. And I think that's kind of sparked up some conversation throughout the local media circles and coaches and everything in between. So excited to hear from different people today, potentially, as far as what do they suggest. Again, for me, no one particular format or scenario is going to be perfect with anything, but interesting to see what people think. You know, you're going to have different perspectives from coaches, maybe from parents and former players as far as what they think is going to be best. So let's get to it.
All right. And I think we should just kind of dive into this right now. And, you know, the thing that really sparked the conversation again is we've seen, you know, multiple tweets and multiple, you know, Facebook posts about how the high school football playoff format needs to be changed in San Diego. And, you know, I sent you the screenshot. I don't know if you're not part of, I don't think you're part of the Coach's Corner Facebook group, are you?
No.
Some of the guys that are in this right now are, but Achilles Smith put in there, the ranking system must add the human element, ... And it opened up like a huge can of worms of debate and tons of replies. And so I think definitely we got to get into the conversation here. The other person that made a comment was Andrew Clark at San Pasquale. I think he put it on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken, and he explained, you know, kind of their situation when it comes to the high school football playoffs and determining the divisions beforehand and whatnot. So, you know, I think I've put together, you know, and it's funny because like I had Labita reached out on Twitter. He's, you know, I thought his tweet was a little condescending, but, you know, a former CIF guy, you know, he kind of laid out the, well, if you had a great idea, like, why don't you bring it to a league office or whatever, and we could discuss it. And I don't know what politics means, but I'm going to be quite frank about it. I mean, anytime I come up with any type of idea, it immediately gets shut down with red tape because of administrators. And I think the biggest thing, I really think CIF should have some type of outside committee that doesn't involve administrators to kind of spark ideas. Because in my opinion, in working with schools from a business side, administrators are just constantly saying no. And in general, it's easy for them to say no because they're used to dealing with kids all the time. And when you deal with kids, it's like it's your way or the 14-year-old's way. And we all know who's going to win that battle. But then they continue to do that with like adults outside of like the schools, and that's just not how the world works. So what I'm about to lay out has obviously some stuff that involves some red tape and some politics of how things are work. So I fully understand that when I put this kind of proposal together when it comes to, you know, school districts like running the leagues, right? And there's other kind of red tape stuff. But there's 85 teams. Let's just quickly talk about what high school football playoffs are in San Diego. They set the divisions before the season starts based on the last 3 years of work, really. And then they have different years that have different percentages. And then they build the divisions, got about 16 teams per division, 16 to 17 teams. There's 85 teams in San Diego high school football. And then at the end of the year, based on CalPREP's rating system in that division, you get the top 12 teams that go to the playoffs, and then in D1, all 16 teams make the playoffs because the top four go to the open. And I think we need to change that, obviously. I do think I'm not a big believer in, like, got to add the human element. And the one question I have for anybody that was involved, like, well, yeah, you got to have the human element to talk about common sense. I want to know who's getting screwed right now based on CalPREPs, because I look at it 1 through 85, and I don't know who's getting screwed right now. Aside from maybe division setup. So from that perspective, I like CalPREPs just in general because they've been 100% accurate in seeding things. But here's where I want to, and I'm going to throw out my idea. You know, Jeff, you could kind of break it down, then we'll kind of open it up to other people if they want to lay their ideas out there. So we have 85 teams in San Diego, which splits evenly into 17 five-team leagues. So 17 is not really a number that works out too well. So what I've done is, you know, one league is a small school league that's got 10 teams in it. And then in that league, you could, I mean, it's not that hard to figure out, like, kind of two divisions in that certain league, and, you know, you could play it out. But essentially, I've broken everything up into eight leagues that are only qualified for Division One, open division, open, or Division One, Division Two, and then eight leagues that only qualify for the Division Three, Four, and Five playoffs. I think all playoffs need to be eight teams each. I think if you win your league, you automatically qualify for a playoff spot. And when it's all said and done, I think you go eight teams in the open, eight in D1, eight in D2, eight in D3, eight in D4, eight in D5. Which means out of those 40 teams, out of the 40 teams that are available for three divisions to make the playoffs, 24 of them will make the playoffs. Where the rest will not. So I think that's probably, to me, that would be the best way to do it. So how I broke it down was, I have, it's kind of like soccer, relegation, if you will. So at the end of the year, I think you still can set your leagues like this, where the top five teams that are North County schools are in the Avocado League. And then the next five are in the Palomar, and then the next five are in the Valley, and then the next five are just, I just made up a league because there's only three in North County, would be in the Mountains. So how I would lay this out was Carlsbad 1, or the Avocado League would be Carlsbad, Mission Hills, Torrey Pines, El Camino, LCC. Then the next five teams based on the CalPreps rankings were Del Norte, San Marcos, Poway, RB, and Ramona. Those two leagues are can only qualify for the Open, Division 1, and Division 2, paired with the City, paired with the South Bay, paired with the South Bay top two leagues and the East County top two leagues. So those are like kind of your 40 best teams, if you will. And then at the end of the season, out of all those 40 teams, I think you go by CalPreps, you rank them. The top eight are in the open. The next eight are in D1, and the next eight are in D2. And then the final, you know, whatever teams are left, are teams that don't make the playoffs. The other caveat I throw in there for playoffs is I think in San Diego, so 16 teams would make the playoffs. The last caveat I throw in there for the postseason would be you have to win at least four games to be, you know, like bowl eligible, but I would have, you know, four wins in order to be playoff eligible. So if you have like a good power rating, but you won like two or three games, you don't qualify, and then the next team is up that gets to go. And, you know, that kind of plays a little bit more fair for some of the teams that might be at the bottom end of what would be D2 in that top half. And then, so that's how I would seed that. And then the same thing would happen. Everything's the same for the bottom leagues per region that have five team each. And then you do the same thing for D3, D4, and then D5. The other thing that I like about this, and again, this all involves red tape and everything, is I think that it builds in schedules already where you would have eight games already guaranteed, and then you go find two others, which I think is a huge thing for a lot of different schools that are looking for games. So let's take the Western League, for example. My proposal would be Lincoln, Cathedral, Saints, Madison, La Jolla is the next best team. So those, you'd play four league games. And then you would play the top league per region. So you would play the team that finished in your spot, or that is equivalent to your spot in the standings in the North County, would be another game. That's your fifth game. And then the same thing in the South Bay would be your sixth game. And the same thing in East County would be your seventh game. And then one cross league game against the league below you, which would be your eighth game. So, you know, if you're Lincoln and you're the number one team in the Western League, you would play Carlsbad out of the Avocado, you would play Modern Day out of the Metro Mesa, you'd play Helix out of the Grossmont Hills, and then you'd play Scripps Ranch out of the Eastern League, mixed with Cathedral, Saints, Madison, and La Jolla. That gives you eight games, and then you have two to fill in yourself for the season. So that's kind of the general synopsis. I'm gonna screenshot this, and I think I could like throw it on. I'll throw it on Twitter to kind of break down how I'd lay it out. But that's to me how you would set it up, and then I'd go the eight teams per. You cut a round out of the playoffs. You get to start the season a little bit later than you would, and that's how I'd run with it. So I'm gonna let you kind of digest that as much as you can, and then we'll kind of open up the forum, and if there's any ideas that popped in your head when we were talking about that, you can go ahead and throw it in there.
So what it sounds like to me, your model kind of is similar to how the NFL does their scheduling, right?
Correct.
You know, like let's the Eagles, you know, right now they're playing the first place schedule. So they're playing the first place team of every division this year. And in addition, they're also playing whatever divisions they were picked to play that particular season. So my question to you, and I think I like that. I know we talked about last year or last week that, you know, you're not really a big fan of open division, but the way the format, if you were to do this format, it kind of makes sense to do it. Are you concerned or worried about maybe the variance of certain teams in terms of, and I guess NFL is that to a certain degree, but let's just say there is a team that's very senior-related and they finish second in their league, right? And let's just say it's whatever the case may be, and they go far semifinals. But then the next year, their roster's gutted, so now they play this really tough schedule, even though they're not really probably meant to play that schedule. Do you see that scenario happening a lot, or it will just be one-off to the point where it won't be a factor?
Well, so I was thinking about that because you'd have to do like you can't like make the league as you go, right? You can't like in the middle of the season be like, all right,
yes,
this is not let's yep. here's our league now. So I think you have to have some type of element of what they did the year before. But what's around that though, it's all based on your CalPreps ratings. So if you get, you know, and it there's you really you got to be in the top 24 out of 40 teams to make the postseason, and just by playing good competition, your rating's going to be good. You know, so the thing is you'd have to win four games or whatever in order to do it. But, like, I think there needs to be an element, Jeff, of, like, actually earning a playoff spot and not just giving it away to everybody, because we've gotten into this age of, like, just handing out awards all the time. And I think eventually it's like there's only so many teams that are, like, could win a championship. And there's teams that – might think they deserve to win a championship because, you know, they're better than, you know, some teams, like they're way below them, but you got to stop comparing yourself to teams that are like way below you. It's like the eighth best team in the SEC complaining that, you know, South Dakota State won the FCS championship, saying, well, we could have won that, but it's a different level. So by this kind of standard that we have here in the relegating system, you know, I think it opens up the door for, you know, getting the benefit of playing in a higher league, because the higher the league you are, the better the competition you're going to play, which means the better the rating you're going to get and the more likely you're going to be able to make the playoffs. And I think at four wins, I mean, you have two – in my proposal, you'd have two open weeks where you'd be able to, you know, schedule whoever you want. You know, you win those two games and then you get two other wins against teams that are going to be your caliber, because, again, you're going to be playing schools that are your caliber in essence. You'd be eligible for the playoffs.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, it's like the college football model in the sense that, you know, people who advocate 16 team or this big, you know, playoff format. At the end of the day, we know in college, especially in college football, there's only going to be about, what, 4 to 16 that we think is going to win the national championship. And the same goes in high school, honestly, especially, you know, when you have, teams in a competitive league and you're comparing them to teams in lower level. Now, obviously, there's exceptions as far as maybe a team that's really good. But generally speaking, I mean, look at who's won Open Division and Division I the past, 5, 10 years. if we were to expand that or change the rankings or do anything of, you know, that nature or just really, you know, have a drastic change, I don't think the outcome would be any different. There might be maybe a minor change, but outside of that, I think the cream always will rise to the top.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to win, right? I mean, the good teams are still going to win. I think it's a better format because it's built-in games, which I think is a new. I think that's a problem now, is for a lot of schools, is finding games and finding teams that are willing to play you. I mean, that's a huge problem. I think you avoid that with this kind of format while still giving you two games of freedom. You know, I think it makes it cut and dry. I think it kind of incorporates the Southern Section format of seeding everything at the end of the year and based on division. So, like, you know, if you're like Mission Bay, right? Let's take Del Norte, for example. So Del Norte in this, you know, this kind of proposed idea would be, you know, the best team in the Palomar League. So they would be the number one team in the second league in North County, which would make them eligible for either the open D1 or D2. And, you know, they'll get seated in a spot that fits them. And, you know, if you're, you know, a school like Ramona, you know, that's the last team in the Palomar League. You know, if you have a bad year and you get bumped down one spot. If you have a good year, then, you know, you're competing for maybe a D2 spot instead of getting this predetermined division. You're playing for three different divisions that you could potentially be in. I think it opens up the playing field a little bit more for different schools that might be there.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from, and I'm definitely not opposed to that in terms of, you know, I do like the kind of NFL type format as far as playing teams of your, I guess, caliber or placing. I think that's a good starting point. So you kind of have an idea going into the season, you know, what your power ranking is going to look like and how you're going to fare off of that. So I think it's a way to kind of just, I don't want to say even the playing field, but kind of have some standard, you know, congruency across the board, so to speak.
So I posted on this, I think I did it right. I think it's a comment on the thing. I posted the graphic. So if you guys can, I don't know if anybody can see it. So that's how it would basically look like. So anything in red, any team that's in red is competing for open D1 and D2. Anything in the blue would be Division 3, 4, and really 5. I didn't mark 5 on there. The thing that hurts a little bit is there's certain areas of San Diego that are a little bit better than others. So from that standpoint, it might be a little bit more – it's kind of unfair. So I guess you could theoretically kind of mix that if you wanted to, but – you know, based off this, it keeps as many teams within their own league requirements as possible. The one thing that I know like would kind of gripe some people is, you know, you have to, in order to make it smooth, I mean, and you have to deal with the 9 Imperial League schools. So the Imperial League and the Desert, I combine them with East County. So, you know, there might be a little bit more travel for some of the East County schools in comparison to like the city schools that are left untouched, because there's a perfect 20 when it comes to the city schools in San Diego. Like North County's got 19 schools, City League's got 20, South Bay's got 13, small schools were about 10, and then East County had 11 schools and Imperial County had 9 schools. So I combined East County and Imperial to make a clean 20. I took Orange Glen from the small school since it's a public school. And put them in the North County group to give them a perfect 20. And then I took 7 schools from the small schools and incorporated that with the South Bay group. And then I took 2 schools. I took Mountain Empire and O'Farrell Charter. I know O'Farrell Charter is a public school, but I put them in Mountain Empire because they're not like private Christian schools, if you will, which is like basically everybody else, with the exception of a couple, you know, that I put in there as well. But, you know, that's just kind of where I did it. I mean, obviously those can move around and stuff. But I think fixing the playoffs is one thing, but I think you have to kind of fix the way all the leagues are set up, because right now it's like, you know, some leagues are 4 teams, the others are like 7, and they're all kind of all over the place, and it's not a clean cut thing where you can make it just clean cut in San Diego and make it self explanatory. Where, you know, based on this, I mean, you know what you got. You know, if you're in the top 10 in North County, you're in a spot competing for the Open D1 or D2, and based on how you do that year and how you stack up against teams your caliber will be your determining factor where your playoff spot is.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting proposal that you make there, Braden, and I'm curious to see what other people think or how they would respond to that and see how they would challenge you. But definitely some strong points there. And again, no system that we have is going to be perfect, but I definitely would be a proponent of that.
And I do want to open it up and see if anybody else got any ideas. I don't know how you do that on here. I think it's like a request to speak or something like that. And if you put that in there,
they have to ask.
Yeah, I'll jump on it. So kind of open forum. Anybody that wants to chime in, any critiques on the proposal or any ideas that they got themselves, love to hear. Anybody out there? I do want to ask.
Listening.
I know they might be listening. I do want to ask Adam Paul, who's one of our representatives in East County. You know what he thinks. I mean, obviously East County would be kind of affected by this, and he knows the way things are and the red tape that's out there. So, we might have an EC Preps jump in, but unless anybody else has any comments, I mean, we could kind of talk about it a little bit.
Brady, it's Adam.
What's going on, Adam?
Hey, I actually like your proposal. I think it sounds really good. So, okay, I'll use the school I went to, Santana, as an example. There's no way we should be in the hills on the hillside. No way in heck playing against Helix and Granite and Steel Canyon and stuff. No way. We can't compete at that. They can't compete at that level. And so I actually like your proposal, of what you guys mentioned. Like you said, you'd have to figure out the whole league structure, because right now you got the Valley side with the most teams in the Grossmont Conference. I know the whole caveat was Mount Miguel should be over on the hillside because of how good they are since they got all those transfers and players and stuff. I mean, teams like West Hills, I mean, I know West Hills beat Grossmont last week or whenever that was, but there's no way that they can compete with the Granites and the Helixes and so forth.
Yeah, I know that. And I don't know if you could see the picture I put on there.
I only saw it on your timeline. I don't see any video.
That's just a picture of the,
okay.
Of like the league breakdown. If the season ended today, it's kind of like how I did it for like next season.
Yeah,
your Grossmont, because you have to kind of incorporate the Imperial schools with East County, sure. Which I know would be a major red tape break. But I think it's doable.
But you know what though, the majority of the East County schools play those teams though.
Right, they already play those schools anyway.
Yeah.
So this is what, based on CalPreps, the East County league. The top league would be Helix, and again, this is based on your ranking from right now. It would be Helix, Granite, Mount Miguel, Central, and Brawley, which is kind of brutal, for Central and Brawley, but that's just how it is right now. And then your Grossmont Valley League would be Steel, West Hills, Imperial, Santana, El Cap. And then your Imperial League would be El Cajon Valley, Grossmont, Holtville, Vincent Memorial, Calexico. And then your Desert League would be Palo Verde Valley, Valhalla, Southwest El Centro, Monta Vista, and Calipatria. So to me, the biggest gripe I would have is like the East County kind of gets hosed in a sense that it is a large portion. I mean, you're going back to the days of Imperial County, back when it used to be part of San Diego County, and that's just all County. But I think it gives you an incentive to be, a little bit better. I mean, most of the time the schools out here are going to be better than the Imperial schools, with the exception of maybe one or two. So if you play at a higher level, you'll be, you know, your travel's going to be theoretically a lot less. But I like the league component in a sense that the built-in schedule. I mean, I was talking to a coach this week about how we're talking about, you know, potentially playing each other next year, and it's so difficult to find games for a lot of these schools because not a lot of schools want to play. Yeah. You get a schedule. Nobody really has to go find games. You're not making all these teams go out of town, and if they want to go out of town twice, they can go out of town twice.
Yeah, because like I said, I'll use Santana as an example. Three games in a row against the big boys, they lost players to broken clavicle bones who would have really helped them. And had they stayed, you know, because right now they're the third ranked team in Division Four behind, I believe it's Westview and Mount McGill's number one, I believe it is. And, you know, if the guys would have, you know, if we would have been on the Valley side and we'd be healthy, I mean, we would have had Santana would have had a clear shot to make it into the D4 game and get probably against Mount McGill. And, I mean, like I said, I don't know. You have to figure it out. I like your proposal. Like I said, you would just have to figure that out and somehow convince the first the athletic directors and then the administrators and whatnot.
Well, the administrators hang everything up. I mean, I've in my time working at 97 through the Fan. I mean, dealing with administrators has been the biggest headache, and they treat everybody like a child because they're used to dealing with children, and they don't come up with any ideas. You know, there's a guy that calls in our show all the time on the John Gutierrez show, Kevin, and I've told him on air before. You know, he's just a no guy. Like he's the guy that is constantly saying we do this wrong, we do that wrong, and there's no solutions. And that's what administrators are. They're not people usually. And I, you know, this is no disrespect to any administrator that's on here. I just there's no sense of trying to find solutions. It's just like problems, and it's like, well, here's a problem.
I'd be interested hearing what Coach Brian, I see he's on, and you know, some of the other coaches have to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a proposal to me that I came up with that it's strictly about the best way of determining stuff on the field. And like I said, I understand the politics and high school football and all that other stuff. I mean, there's a lot of red tape that had to go through it. But, you know, I had a CIF guy say, like, I don't really know what you're talking about when it comes to politics. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. This is the politics of
they know exactly what you're talking about.
The condescending tweet kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I would like to get Coach Brian's opinion on this kind of proposal. Me and him shoot texts all the time with Cal Preps and different playoff formats. And we're two guys that coach at schools that – are obviously impacted with trying to find games all the time. So what are your thoughts there, Brian?
Hey, thanks for having me. So I love the proposal that you have as far as the breakdowns for the different leagues and everything. My thing is I love being able to go out and get games on any level that we can get. If they're going to be big games that can help us propel towards higher rankings, that should be what we're looking to achieve. Just like I know you stated that you're looking to win the open division. Well, in theory, we should be looking to win the open division in the state, right? So if that's not your goal, you have to be able to take some games sometimes that's going to get you to that spot. So, you know, maybe we want to reach out to play some of these teams that have higher power rankings, whether it's you know, in the state or outside the state or in different sections. So I do like it, what you proposed. Two games, it seems like, might be tough. And depending on who you have in your league, some of those leagues, it doesn't work out well. Like if you look at Modern Day's league, they've actually played much tougher teams in their last couple years. They've played you guys, they've played us, they've played Carlsbad. And now they're going to end up in league, and they're not going to be able to make those points up because the strength of schedule in that league is not, you know, unfortunately, it's just not very,
right.
very
good. But it, in my proposal, I mean, if they're the number one team out of the South Bay, they'd be playing the number one team out of the City League, which would be you guys, and then it would be the number one team in North County, which would be Carlsbad, two teams that are already on their schedule. Number one team out of East County would be Helix, and then they would play, you know, obviously they'd get the one game. And I think you got to do one game against the league right below you in your area, just in case there is a team that, you know, might have a good class. So let's take about Modern Day, for example. You brought them up. Their schedule in this proposal for next year would be East Lake, Chula Vista, Otay Ranch, and Sweetwater. They already play four Metro League games anyway. And then their other games that they would have that are assigned would be Helix, because they're currently the best Cal Preps rated team in East County. It would be Lincoln. It would be Carlsbad. So, and then they would play Bonita. So those would be their eight games, and then we'd leave them an option with two open spots where they could, you know, try to find somebody else either in town to play or those big games, as you mentioned. I agree with you, Brian. I mean, I like playing the bigger games. I have a lot more fun, you know, playing the Chaminades on the road and traveling and playing Liberty and De La Salle and Folsom. I mean, all the schools that we personally have played in the past. You know, but I think playing two is probably good, especially with like some of the other schools you get to play in town that are pretty big. I think it would be better for us as a section to have as many evenly matched games between the big boys, between the guys in the middle and the guys at the bottom as possible, and try to avoid as many mismatches as possible. And I think in this kind of realm, you only really set yourself up for maybe one or two mismatches, you know, per team per year out of this proposal. And again, I mean, none of them are perfect. I mean, you're never going to find a perfect match. But I do hear what you're saying on that. I mean, because you guys go out and play in Hawaii and go play up in the Bay Area and play in LA and Vegas and all that fun stuff. And I think those are great. I think those are great opportunities for the kids too. You know, so I wish. You know, to me, it's just kind of – it's simpler to do it like that. Or maybe you just play the teams in the top half and you eliminate that cross-league game in your kind of region of San Diego. That's another thing you could do as well.
Yeah, I think if you had the third game, that would definitely be more enticing because, like I said, with the turnover rate, like we said, if – we'll just take Modern Day as an example. You know, this year – I don't know what their numbers are coming back next year, but if they win that league this year and they're the number one in that league coming back next year, but they're not as strong, and then their numbers are their power ranking numbers are a little lower, then that's going to impact all those number one seeds now who are essentially looking to, you know, play at a higher level.
So the other thing too is, you know, we're all kind of viewing this as a you know, from like a top down kind of deal. And, you know, obviously I'm a little bit more biased because the school that I went to and I coach at is one of the bigger schools when it comes to football in town. But, you know, do we have any coaches that are in here that are at, you know, some smaller schools that want to weigh in on this and either what they like or what they don't like. And if you are, like, feel free to jump in. I'd love to hear your perspective as well. Do you have any takers in there? If not, at any point in time you want to chime in, you can just request to speak, and we'll get you on. So that's kind of how the leagues would work in terms of like the playoff itself. I think it still needs to be based on Cal Preps. I know a lot of people were talking about the human element, and I'll ask you, Jeff. You know, as we get back to kind of some more of the podcast, and again, if you want to weigh in, just feel free to. Chime in and ask the request to speak. But you know, do you think there needs to be a human element to it when it comes to kind of seeding the playoffs, or do you like the way Cal Preps kind of does things and just kind of let the computers do the thing? Jeff, gotcha.
Oh, sorry. I had the mic off. Yeah. Repeat the first part of the question because you were cutting in and out.
The conversation on, you know, whether it should be a little bit of a human element to the Cal Prep's determination of seeding the playoffs. Personally, you know, I think you muddy the waters a little bit by adding the human element. I think you just got to stick with it, and you know, I'm open for debate on who's getting screwed right now with the Cal Prep's thing, because I look at it like 1 through 85, and I don't really have too many discrepancies with some of it. But again, you know, everybody has their biases that are, you know, under the, you know, behind the scenes, if you will.
Yeah, it'd be one that winning and missing on a bunch, and they were being misseeded. You know, teams out of the reserve. It seems that Cal Prep is pretty legit in as far as slotting these teams. Case, why do we need to add that? I mean, I think you want to be with a list, want to be as objective as and as much as it's an objective thing. Now, yes, humans per day, it's objective. When you start having coaches and do or will biases or whatever the case, I think we're just opening up a can of worms there. And my thing is, be adding what would the human element we're missing? See that I don't see anything outside. You're telling me coaches are watching all these games. Yes, they can. This and that, but I don't think we're missing significant in these ratings. So I would be open to it, I guess. I would have to convince what are we required.
Yeah, I am. I'm looking at it right now, and I don't see, like, where the errors are. I mean, everybody is in this, like, in the country. Like, every team in the country is in Cal Preps, and they accurately predict games. I mean, to a T. You know, they picked Lincoln 42-7 last week against Saints. Lincoln won 42-7. I mean, that's, like, insane how accurate that is. And that was kind of an anomaly. But they're usually within, like, a couple of points here and there of accurate predictions based on their rating system. Again, the system that Cal Preps uses that was taken by Max Preps, it's the same thing. It's the same ranking system for, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but Cal Preps and Max Preps use the same rating system. It was designed for gambling. It's designed to get a spread. I mean, Ned Freeman came up with it for gambling purposes of getting a spread and like being able to bet on NFL and college games, and they've incorporated it now to high school football, and it's so accurate that organizations now and sections are using it to seed the playoffs. I mean, to me, you know, the people that are usually against Cal Preps are the people that are afraid of it because it's a formula they don't understand. But, you know, I don't need to know what's in the formula to understand that it works, because the data shows that it works. And the years that they've used Cal Preps to seed the playoffs when they were seeding the Open, the favorite won every single time. And you might sit there and go, like, and I've said this multiple times in this podcast, but you sit there and go, well, it's not really fun if the top four seeds win all the time. And you know what people did? Instead of just, like, letting it play out, they just got rid of four teams because they're like, oh, they're never going to win. It's not fair. After 5 years of playing with eight teams, which is not a big enough sample size, it was just like, well, it's unfair. The top four teams win all the time. And, you know, the fifth best team in the county needs to win a CIF championship, so let's make a D1 playoff with 12 teams. I totally disagree with all of that logic and all of that thinking. You know, I think they pulled the plug on it a little bit too early, but the best way to determine whether or not Cal Preps is right is by looking at the data, and the data shows that the favorites are winning. They seeded the playoffs correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, there's no – again, we mentioned it. If there is was an issue with the seedings, and yes, I would say let's change it. Let's have a discussion. But it seems like they're hitting on the nail, hitting it correctly. So if it ain't broke, why fix it? Type of deal.
I agree.
You know, I'm with it. I think they've been solid. I think the champions that we've had have been a great representation of the city and the talent and how good these teams are. And I can't, like I said, off the top of my head, really can't even think of a scenario in the past handful of years where it's like, okay, this team was unjust or this team got robbed. It's been pretty spot on. So if that's the case, let's just continue to use that and then find other ways potentially to make it better. But as far as the rankings go, I think we're good, man.
We got a couple of people weighing in. Brian, who was talking to us, put, you went all in on this. I don't want to change anything other than ranking the divisions at the end of the season, which is exactly what I would do in this. I think you see the playoffs and see the best eight teams in D1, and the next eight teams are in D2, and the next eight are in D3, and so on and so forth. Actually, open eight, D1, eight, D2, eight, and then so on and so forth. And the other one is Coach, is it Lennis? Granite Hills varsity coach. He goes, your new league setup eliminates the need for a human element with how you have it. The ranking will be better for the teams that think they deserve a certain position in the postseason. It does eliminate the human element, I think. I mean, at this point, it's like these are the leagues, and you're going to play against good teams, and your rating system is going to tell you where you're at. And you know, there's no hiding with, like, we're 7-1, but we played a strength of schedule that's a negative, which I think is a big thing. I mean, I had, you know, somebody called into our show, the John Gutierrez show the other day, and was upset with the San Diego Union Tribune top 10, which I voted, and I enjoy voting in that, because Cathedral was ranked 10 with their record, and Mission Bay, who's 7-1, was not in the top 10. And I was like, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. They're 7-1. I mean, they have a strength of schedule of -6.3 to a point, and I didn't want to get into the conversation on air, but it's like, and the fact that it involves my school in general is tough to talk about. I mean, I don't like using it, but I don't think there's any, and this is not like by any means like any type of talking shit, because I'm not. But, like, if Cathedral lined up against Mission Bay on Friday, what's the outcome of that game? Like, what's the theoretical outcome of that game? It's like, it's not even a game. And I think the same thing can be said about a lot of different games that we've seen. It's like, yeah, I mean, they're 7-1, it's great, but it's like, I think they need to be in a league, in a division that's comparable to their talent, and I think it's going to set up, and at least the proposal, I try to put it in a sense that you're having teams, especially in the playoffs, you got evenly matched teams going against each other in the playoffs for good matchups. Somebody, Adam, were you trying to jump in there?
Well, you were saying what kind of game? It would probably be like our Santana versus Helix's game last week, where it would be running clock pretty much the whole second half. So
yeah, I feel like a lot of people that don't like the Cal Prep system, you know, I think they value like the overall record a little bit too much.
You guys are talking about human element. I keep thinking of my cousin who's a professional gambler and handicapper. And he uses human element to determine the, you know, spread, you know, winners and all that. With like, okay, is team A's quarterback injured? Things like that. I've never seen a system that we, unless you're saying that Cal Preps, like you said it was for gambling. I've never seen a system that we've ever used take into consideration an injury or a suspension or ineligible player when it comes, you know, rankings and things like that. And like I said, that's what, you know, what I think of when it comes down to human element. But, you know, and that's what everybody was missing. Like I said, I'm not, it doesn't matter to me. I just wanted to, you know, explain what I thought the human element part.
Well, that is a pretty good point. Like, you know, if you're, you know, let's just say, like, I don't want to say it. Let's just say team. I'm gonna say team A because I don't want to, like, I don't want to say anybody gets hurt. But like, let's say team A is like on the cusp of making the open division. Like they're an open division team right now. You know, just, you know, just a this hypothetical situation. And, you know, they beat a bunch of good teams at the beginning of the year, and then they lose their, like, starting center quarterback. I mean, they just have, like, they get, like, three terrible injuries over the last 3 weeks of the year. And it's not even close to being the same team, but their rating is still legit. Do you think there should be a human element that says, like, look, like, this team's not – they're not going to be able to survive the open, and they had a great year, but it's, like, it's probably better off for them to be in D1. If I'm not mistaken, I think didn't that happen to Poway last year? Didn't they lose somebody, or like he got banged up or something like that? It seemed like a different team, and it was like
the running back.
Yeah, is that what happened?
I'm pretty sure.
Nobody. There was flip flopping, and when they did the vote between Poway and whoever it was, the Poway coach he just volunteered,
which is good. Which is good for him. I mean, I'd much rather have a coach say we want to be in the open. I think it would have been bad news if he said like we're not in. You know, we'll take D1.
Because I forgot, I remember because it was explained that the PowerPoints last year were so tight with each other, they were tied and or something like that, and the Poway coach was like, forget it, we'll take the open.
Right. There was something like that. So like in that perspective, like, yeah, like let's say like Poway's running back last year goes down and he's like their main guy, and you know, and he can't play. Yeah, you know, because he goes down in the last week of the season. You know, do you want to bring in a human?
But aren't you penalizing the entire team?
I agree with that too.
They've put themselves in a position to play this game, and injuries is part of the game. It just happens. I mean, it's just the element that we can't take out. And that's the unknown and unexpected. So I think it would be a total disservice to Team A if that was to happen.
Right.
Now, yes,
I agree.
Would they be at a disadvantage? Of course. But
is it the same team? No. But I agree with you,
but
Jeff.
They
earned
their way there. It's like, I mean, you look at a situation like in college. Let's look at Georgia right now. I mean, they lost Brock Bowers, who's probably the best tight end in the country, one of the best players in the country. The polls are not going to drop them down just because he's not there. They're going to let him play it out in the field. Now, obviously, if they lose and, you know, and whatnot, they'll fall off the rankings. But to just say, okay, well, we know they're not going to be able, not the same team. We don't even, yes, it's true, but you got to give them the chance to rally the
troops. Now you're getting into like college football playoff committee BS, and we all know that they screw that up all the time. by overthinking it like you're right there, right? So, it's like,
and that was all that I wanted to, you know, my thought was, because like I said, I've heard in my vast coverage of prep sports since they've gone to all these new weird systems every year, well, what if player A from team A gets to, you know, is potentially going to, he committed a rules infraction, a team infraction or a school infraction, but he ends up playing on that Friday night when he should have been suspended. What are we rewarding teams? I mean, I've heard it all, guys. I mean, and I don't really know what to say.
I was never part of these meetings because it was before my time of coaching, but they were happening when I was still playing. I mean, the seating meetings, I just feel like there's not enough coaches that remember the seeding meetings and how insane those meetings were to seed the playoffs, where you got, you know, coaches hyping up teams that they played, and there's the little alliances, and then saying this team's not very good because they wanted to play, or like we're not very good because we want the 7 seed instead of the 5 seed. I mean, that's terrible. Why muddy the waters with the human element? Just let the computer do its thing.
Yeah, because like I said, our example before we went to all this new system stuff was 2010, Santana. We went 1-9, and Coach Dave Gross tells the rep, I forgot who it was for our league at the time, said to him, he called him and said, no, don't we, because we were going to make the playoffs. And he's like, no, we don't want to be in the playoffs. And the guy didn't get the message or something. We ended up getting in the playoffs and playing Olympian. It was like their first or second year, and Coach Gil Warren was the coach. And we ended up getting hammered, and we ended up finishing 1-10. And we're like, what are we doing here, guys?
That's like the one thing, because, you know, even in that proposal I said, I think you do need to add a minimum requirement for how many wins get you in the playoffs. I don't think you have to be 500 or better, because based on this, I mean, there's going to be a lot of good teams that are playing good teams that probably deserve to make the playoffs that might have four. But I think like 3 or 4 wins is probably a safe standard. I mean, if you have less than 4 wins, you know, to finish the season, I mean, it's just not a good year, and you probably shouldn't be in the playoffs anyway. Coming from, you know, me, who coaches at a school that currently has 3 wins. I mean, like, it's not been that great of a year. And if we didn't make the playoffs, we'd be upset. Yeah. Cause we'd want to be in the playoffs, but at the same time, it's like, it'd be understandable. And I don't speak for the entire coaching staff, obviously. I just speak for myself, but it's just like, I'd be like, yeah, we got to be better. You know, we got to win more than 3 games. You got to win more than 4 games, you know, to think about a postseason. I'm still a huge advocate, but I do think too many teams make the playoffs in San Diego high school football. I mean, it's just like 12 teams per, everybody in D1 makes the playoffs is a joke. It's just dumb. That's kind of the proposal I had, and that's kind of like what the podcast was this week. That was very interesting topic of discussion in the coach's corner today. Again, if you want to chime in, just request to speak or whatever, we'll get to you. But overall, I mean, I obviously like the proposal. I came up with it. I just, you know, I don't think it's like good enough to be talked about CIF because of all the politics and red tape, but I think it definitely should be considered.
Agree with you, my man.
Any other holes we could punch in this thing? I mean, yeah, I'm sure I can find a bunch later, but
no, good, healthy conversation. I think this will it's not the last time we'll be talking about
it. Well, just wait for the playoffs to get seated
this year. Exactly. Yes. So that will lead to another podcast.
My guy Brian's got scenarios for so many different teams that could potentially make the open, and people are going to be fuming if certain teams happen.
Slow down.
You got teams like there's teams are in it, and people. That's the other thing too. It's like, I think there's this sense with the Cal Preps where it's like you don't know. It's not like the NFL, right? Where it's like, all right, we need to win, and then we need a Granite loss, a Mission Hills loss, and a Torrey tie or win to make the postseason. It's like, well, I really hope Liberty wins, right? Or like there's games that are happening in New Jersey. There are games that are happening in New Jersey that are affecting the power rating for our teams here in San Diego, and it's such a wild card. I don't know, to me it's exciting. I'm sure a lot of head coaches get gray hair and lose hair and lose sleep over it, but you never know what's going to happen. I mean, this weekend there's a lot of games out of town that are going to affect our San Diego team's power ratings.
Yeah, crazy stuff, man.
So nobody else has any other topics. I think I'll do it for the podcast. Appreciate all the listener support and different ideas thrown out there. And if there's anything you want to add or cheapest about adding with us on the spaces, feel free to leave a comment or tweet at me B_SURP and we can talk about it. And if you have any other ideas you want to throw out there, we can talk about the podcast next week. I love the live interaction this week. It was a good time. Jeff, always great catching up with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you as always, man. We'll do it again next week.
Brian, Adam, thanks for jumping in. Thanks for that was a great, great help, a good insight as well.
Much appreciated.
We'll talk to you guys next week on the podcast on Spaces. If you missed any of this, you can listen back once we are done. You can also check it out on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast. Thanks again for tuning into the High School Football Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. It'd be one thing winging and missing on a bunch and they were being misseeded. You know, teams out of the reserve. Case. It seems that Kyle Fresh is pretty legit in as far as slotting these teams. Case, why do we need to add that? I mean, I think you want to be with a list to be as objective as and as much as it's an objective thing. Now, yes, humans per day, it's objective. When you start having coaches in agendas and do or will, biases or whatever the case, I think we're just opening up a can of worms there. And my thing is adding what would the human element we're missing. See that. I don't see anything outside. You're telling me coaches are watching all these games. And yes, they can this and that, but I don't think we're missing significant in these ratings. So I would be open to it, I guess. I'm going to have to convince what are we required.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and I don't see, like, where the errors are. I mean, everybody is in this, like, in the country. Like, every team in the country is in CalPreps, and they accurately predict games. I mean, to, like, to a T. You know, they picked Lincoln 42-7 last week against Saints. Lincoln won 42-7. I mean, that's, like, insane how accurate that is. And that was kind of an anomaly. But they're usually within, like, a couple of points here and there of accurate predictions based on their rating system. Again, this the system that CalPreps uses that was taken by MaxPreps, it's the same thing. It's the same ranking system for I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but CalPreps and MaxPreps use the same rating system. It was designed for gambling. It's designed to get a spread. I mean, Ned Freeman came up with it for gambling purposes of getting a spread and like being able to bet on NFL and college games, and they've incorporated it now to high school football, and it's so accurate that organizations now and sections are using it to seed the playoffs. I mean, to me, you know, the people that are usually against CalPreps are the people that are afraid of it because it's a formula they don't understand. But, you know, I don't need to know what's in the formula to understand that it works, because the data shows that it works. And the years that they've used CalPreps to seed the playoffs when they were seeding the Open, the favorite won every single time. And you might sit there and go, like, and I've said this multiple times in this podcast, but you sit there and go, well, it's not really fun if the top four seeds win all the time. And you know what people did? Instead of just, like, letting it play out, they just got rid of four teams because they're like, oh, they're never going to win. It's not fair. After 5 years of playing with eight teams, which is not a big enough sample size, it was just like, well, it's unfair. The top four teams win all the time. And, you know, the fifth best team in the county needs to win a CIF championship, so let's make a D1 playoff with 12 teams. I totally disagree with all of that logic and all of that thinking. You know, I think they pulled the plug on it a little bit too early, but the best way to determine whether or not CalPreps is right is by looking at the data, and the data shows that the favorites are winning. They seeded the playoffs correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, there's no – again, we mentioned it. If there was an issue with the seedings, and yes, I would say let's change it. Let's have a discussion. But it seems like they're hitting on the nail. They're hitting it correctly. So if it ain't broke, why fix it type of deal?
I agree.
You know, I'm with it. I think they've been solid. I think the champions that we've had have been a great representation of the city and the talent and how good these teams are. And I can't, like I said, off the top of my head, really can't even think of a scenario in the past handful of years where it's like, okay, this team was unjust or this team got robbed. It's been pretty spot on. So if that's the case, let's just continue to use that and then find other ways potentially to make it better. But as far as the rankings go, I think we're good, man.
We got a couple of people weighing in. Brian, who was talking to us, put, you went all in on this. I don't want to change anything other than ranking the divisions at the end of the season, which is exactly what I would do in this. I think you see the playoffs and see the best eight teams in D1, and the next eight teams are in D2, and the next eight are in D3, and so on and so – or actually open. Open 8, D1, 8, D2, 8, and then so on and so forth. And the other one is Coach – is it Lennis? Granite Hills varsity coach. He goes, your new league setup eliminates the need for a human element with how you have it. The ranking will be better for the teams that think they deserve a certain position in the postseason. It does eliminate the human element, I think. I mean, at this point, it's like these are the leagues, and you're going to play against good teams, and your rating system is going to tell you where you're at. And, you know, there's no hiding with, like, we're 7-1, but we played a strength of schedule that's a negative, which I think is a big thing. I mean, I had, you know, somebody called into our show, the John Gutierrez show the other day, and was upset with the San Diego Union Tribune top 10, which I voted, and I enjoy voting in that, because Cathedral was ranked 10 with their record, and Mission Bay, who's 7-1, was not in the top 10. And I was like, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. They're 7-1. I mean, they have a strength of schedule of -6.3. To a point, and I didn't want to get into the conversation on air, but it's like, and the fact that it involves my school in general is tough to talk about. I mean, I don't like using it, but I don't think there's any, and this is not like by any means like any type of talking shit, because I'm not. But like, if Cathedral lined up against Mission Bay on Friday, what's the outcome of that game? Like, what's the theoretical outcome of that game? It's not even a game. And I think the same thing can be said about a lot of different games that we've seen. It's like, yeah, I mean, they're 7-1, it's great, but it's like, I think they need to be in a league, in a division that's comparable to their talent. And I think it's going to set up, and at least the proposal, I try to put it in a sense that you're having teams, especially in the playoffs, you got evenly matched teams going against each other in the playoffs for good matchups. Adam, were you trying to jump in there?
Well, you were saying what kind of game? It would probably be like our Santana versus Helix's game last week, where it would be running clock pretty much the whole second half. So
yeah, I feel like a lot of people that don't like the Cal Prep system, you know, I think they value like the overall record a little bit too much.
You guys are talking about human element. I keep thinking of my cousin who's a professional gambler and handicapper, and he uses human element to determine the, you know, spread, you know, winners and all that. Was like, okay, is team A's quarterback injured? Things like that. I've never seen a system. Unless you're saying that Cal Preps, like you say, it was for gambling. I've never seen a system that we've ever used take into consideration an injury or a suspension or ineligible player when it comes, you know, rankings and things like that. And like I said, that's what I think of when it comes down to human element. But you know. And that's what everybody was missing. It doesn't matter to me. I just wanted to, you know, explain what I thought the human element part.
Well, that is a pretty good point. Like, you know, if you're, you know, let's just say, like, I don't want to say it. Let's just say team A, because I don't want to, like, I don't want to say anybody gets hurt. But, like, let's say team A is, like, on the cusp of making the open division. Like, they're an open division team right now. You know, just a hypothetical situation. And, you know, they beat a bunch of good teams at the beginning of the year, and then they lose their, like, starting center quarterback. I mean, they just have, like, they get, like, three terrible injuries over the last 3 weeks of the year. And it's not even close to being the same team, but their rating is still legit. You think there should be a human element that says, like, look, like, this team's not – they're not going to be able to survive the Open. And they had a great year, but it's, like, it's probably better off for them to be in D1. If I'm not mistaken, I think – didn't that happen to Poway last year? Didn't they lose somebody or, like, he got banged up or something like that? It seemed like a different team, and it was, like
– the running back?
Yeah, is that what happened?
I'm pretty sure.
Nobody – there was flip-flopping, and when they – I guess when they did the vote between Poway and whoever it was – the Poway coach, he just volunteered,
which is good. Which is good for him. I mean, I'd much rather have a coach say we want to be in the Open. I think it would have been bad news if he said like we're not in. You know, we'll take D1.
Because I forgot. I remember because it was explained that the PowerPoints last year were so tight with each other, they were tied and or something like that. And the Poway coach was like, ah, forget it. We'll take the Open.
Right. There was something like that. So, like in that perspective, like, yeah, like, let's say, like, Poway's running back last year goes down, and he's, like, their main guy, and, you know, and he can't play, you know, because he goes down in the last week of the season. You know, do you want to bring in a human?
But aren't you penalizing the entire team?
I agree with that, too, Jeff.
They've put themselves in a position to play this game. And injuries is part of the game. It just happens. I mean, it's just the element that we can't take out, and that's the unknown and unexpected. So I think it would be a total disservice to Team A if that was to happen.
Right.
Now, yes,
I agree.
Would they be at a disadvantage? Of course.
But is it the same team? No. But I agree with you,
but
Jeff.
They earned their way there. It's like, I mean, you look at a situation like in college. Let's look at Georgia right now. I mean, they lost Brock Bowers, who's probably the best tight end in the country, one of the best players in the country. The polls are not going to drop them down just because he's not there. They're going to let him play it out in the field. Now, obviously, if they lose and you know the and whatnot, they'll fall off the rankings. But to just say, okay, well, we know they're not going to be able, they're not the same team. We don't even. Yes, it's true, but you got to give them the chance to rally.
Now you're getting into like college football playoff committee BS, and we all know that they screw that up all the time. by overthinking it, you're right there, right? So, it's like,
and that was all that I wanted. You know, my thought was because, like I said, I've heard in my vast coverage of prep sports since they've gone to all these new weird systems every year. Well, what if player A from team A gets to, you know, is potentially going to – he committed a rules infraction, a team infraction or a school infraction, but he ends up playing on that Friday night when he should have been suspended. What are we – are we rewarding teams? I mean, I've heard it all, guys. I mean, and I don't really know what to say.
I don't – I was never part of these meetings because it was before my time of coaching, but they were happening when I was still playing. I mean, the seating meetings. I just feel like there's not enough – there's not enough coaches that remember the seeding meetings and how insane those meetings were to seed the playoffs where you got, you know, coaches hyping up teams that they played and there's the little alliances and then saying this team's not very good because they wanted to play or like we're not very good because we want the 7 seed instead of the 5 seed. I mean, that's terrible. Why muddy the waters with the human element? Just let the computer do its thing.
Yeah, because like I said, our example before we went to all this new system stuff was 2010. Santana, we went 1-9, and Dave Gross tells the rep, I forgot who it was for our league at the time, said to him, he called him and said, no, don't we? Because we were going to make the playoffs, and he's like, no, we don't want to be in the playoffs. And the guy didn't get the message or something. We ended up getting in the playoffs and playing Olympian. It was like their first or second year, and Coach Gil Warren was the coach. And we ended up getting hammered, and we ended up finishing 1-10. And we're like, what are we doing here, guys?
That's like the one thing because, you know, even in that proposal I said, I think you do need to add a minimum requirement for how many wins get you in the playoffs. I don't think you have to be 500 or better because based on this, I mean, there's going to be a lot of good teams that are playing good teams that probably deserve to make the playoffs that might have four. But I think like 3 or 4 wins is probably a safe standard. I mean, if you have less than 4 wins, you know, to finish the season, I mean, it's just not a good year, and you probably shouldn't be in the playoffs anyway. Coming from, you know, me, who coaches at a school that currently has 3 wins, I mean, like, it's not been that great of a year. And if we didn't make the playoffs, we'd be upset, yeah, because we'd want to be in the playoffs. But at the same time, it's like, it'd be understandable. And I don't speak for the entire coaching staff, obviously. I just speak for myself. But it's just like, I'd be like, yeah, we got to be better. You know, we got to win more than 3 games. You got to win more than 4 games. You know, to think about a postseason. I'm still a huge advocate, but I do think too many teams make the playoffs in San Diego high school football. I mean, it's just like 12 teams per. Everybody in D1 makes the playoffs is a joke. It's just dumb. So that's kind of the proposal I had, and that's kind of like what the podcast was this week. That was very interesting topic of discussion in the coaches' corner today. Again, if you want to chime in, just request to speak or whatever, we'll get to you. But overall, I mean, I obviously like the proposal I came up with. It. I just, you know, I don't think it's like good enough for to be talked about CIF because of all the politics and red tape, but I think it definitely should be considered.
Agreed. Agree with you, my man.
Any other holes we could punch in this thing? I mean, yeah, I'm sure I can find a bunch later, but
no, good, healthy conversation. I think this will it was not the last time we'll be talking about this.
Well, just wait for the playoffs to get seeded.
This year. Exactly. Yes, so that'll lead to another podcast.
My guy Brian's got scenarios for so many different teams that could potentially make the open, and people are going to be fuming if certain teams happen.
Slow down.
You got teams like there's teams are in it, and people that's the other thing too. It's like, I think there's this sense with the Cal Preps where it's like, you don't know. It's not like the NFL, right? Where it's like, all right, we need to win, and then we need a Granite loss, a Mission Hills loss, and a Torrey tie or win to make the postseason. It's like, well, I really hope Liberty wins, right? Or like there's games that are happening in New Jersey. There are games that are happening in New Jersey that are affecting the power rating for our teams here in San Diego, and it's such a wild card. I don't know, to me it's exciting. I'm sure a lot of head coaches get gray hair and lose hair and lose sleep over it, but you never know what's going to happen. I mean, this weekend there's a lot of games out of town that are going to affect our San Diego team's power ratings.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy stuff, man.
So, nobody else has any other topics? I think I'll do it for the podcast. Appreciate all the listener support and different ideas thrown out there. And if there's anything you want to add or little sheepish about adding with us on the spaces, feel free to leave a comment or tweet at me B_SURP and we can talk about it. And if you have any other ideas you want to throw out there, we can talk about the podcast next week. I love the live interaction this week. It was a good time. Jeff, always great catching up with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you as always, man. We'll do it again next week.
Brian, Adam, thanks for jumping in. Thanks for that was a great, great help, a good insight as well.
Much appreciated.
We'll talk to you guys next week on the podcast on Spaces. If you missed any of this, you can listen back once we are done. You can also check it out on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast. Thanks again for tuning into the High School Football Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.